Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast, our guest segment, 890B. We have a wonderful guest for you. Did you ever think dirty skin was beautiful? Well, that's the title of the book, The Beauty of Dirty Skin by Dr. Whitney Bowe, B-O-W-E. B-O-W-E. I keep wanting to say Bow. I don't know why, but it's Bow. And for her website, that is Dr. Whitney Bow, Dr. Whitney, B-O-W-E.com. We'll remind you of that later. But what's beautiful about dirty skin? Dr. Bow, I keep wanting to say Dr. Bowe,
that's
I just
okay.
have to think
just
of tying
about,
a bow.
Like Riddick Bowe, you know, I kind of look like Riddick Bowe. If you check out my website, guys, you can tell me if I have that resemblance. But I love dirty skin, and it does not mean that you can go to sleep with your makeup on, and it does not mean that I'm going to ask you to stop showering. So I am a board-certified dermatologist, and I've been doing a ton of research in the area of the microbiome. So when I talk about dirty skin, I'm talking about learning how to love your good bugs on your skin. So we are covered in trillions of microscopic bacteria. They're all over our skin, even when we get out of the shower. And they're not just on our skin, they're also in our guts. And those good bugs, you probably heard of the word probiotics. People sort of get that concept of like, oh yeah, I eat yogurt with probiotics, it's good for my gut. But now we're learning, just in the last couple of years, the science is exploding, showing us that our good bugs, the bugs on our skin and the bugs in our gut, are absolutely critical when it comes to keeping our skin looking youthful, radiant, and glowing. And these good bugs, if we can nurture them and protect them and support them instead of killing them and hurting them, which is what we tend to do here in America, then we can actually benefit and we can actually end up doing amazing things with chronic skin conditions like acne, eczema, rosacea, psoriasis, as well as signs of aging like fine lines, wrinkles, brown spots. And it's even been shown that some of these bugs can help fight serious skin conditions and cancers like melanoma. So the science is amazing, but yes, you got to get a little dirty. You got to sort of embrace this idea that you've got bugs on your skin, and that's okay.
Dr. Bow, hold on. Let me ask some questions. Okay, I should say before I ask the questions, Dr. Oz and I both share a patent on selecting probiotics appropriately. So that patent issued a few years ago. So from an interest of full disclosure, we're big believers in probiotics, as it sounds like you are from the book. But let me go
I am, and
we, talk.
We have that friend in common. I was just on Dr. Oz yesterday. I'm on the show a lot, and I'm a huge fan. And he's actually going to be sending out some information on his website soon about the book too. So we Dr. Oz and I both love probiotics. I know you do too. So I think that it's very cool that we can talk about that today.
So let's talk about you talk a lot about the gut brain connection in the book, as well as if you will, the gut skin connection. So one of the things I saw was that taking a probiotic may be actually one of the best treatments for acne. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, so it's fascinating. So the gut, the brain, and the skin are all connected. So I love that you brought that up, because so many patients come to me and they think that they're just a prescription or a cream away from clearing up their skin concern. But that's actually not the case. You know, you got to dive a lot deeper than that. So specifically when it comes to acne, there's actually several strains of probiotic bacteria that have been shown to act like natural antibiotics. They produce little substances called antimicrobial peptides. They're almost like little missiles, and they can poke holes in the bug that causes acne. So the bug that causes acne is called Propionibacterium acnes, or P. acnes. And if that's sitting on your skin, some people react to that. They think it's an invader. It's like, oh my gosh, this thing is going to hurt me. I'm going to boost my immune system response to this. I'm going to develop all these little pustules and pus bumps all over my skin. And they're sort of fighting this war that they don't need to fight, right? Because, you know, it's not like P. acnes is going to kill them if it's sitting on the skin. It's totally fine if it likes to live in those hair follicles. And in some people, it'll just live there perfectly peacefully and there won't be any sign of acne. But in someone else, their immune system might think, oh my gosh, this is something we need to fight. And then that person develops acne. So it's really cool. In the past, we used to treat acne using lots of topical and oral antibiotics. But unfortunately, over the years, we've developed a lot of resistance, meaning the bacteria don't respond to our antibiotics anymore. The acne does not respond. We keep giving these antibiotics and the skin is just still breaking out. So now we have to look for other things, alternative treatments to antibiotics. And one of the most powerful and promising is probiotics. So there are some really cool
So Whitney, when we told people you were coming on the show and that the book was titled Dirty Skin, they asked, can you get a benefit? In other words, we take kids to the zoo. They said, should we intentionally spread dirt on them rather than let them get dirty? That is, does the normal bacteria in dirt help you? Should we be using, they said, and you may be more familiar with this, that there are, quote, mud packs that you use on skin, and should we, in fact, does that mud layer on the skin help get the right bacteria for the skin, or does it help, for example, your brain or some other part of your body, or is it just a old wives' tale that these mud packs are beneficial?
So those are great questions. I love them. That people are literally, they're taking the title quite literally, rolling in dirt. So yes, there are probiotic strains. So when you think about probiotics or these good bugs or these healthy bacteria, where do they come from? They can come from human skin. They can come from human guts. They can come from water, and they can come from dirt. So the ones from dirt, we're not sure 100% whether those are going to be just as beneficial as the type of probiotics or good bugs that we find on the skin or in the gut. So it's still in its early stages, the research. There are some companies, one of them is called Mother Dirt, that actually are developing products. They're like mists, almost like a spray, that contains bacteria that you'd find in the dirt. So here they are putting that bacteria in this spray, and you can apply it after you get out of the shower. And the thought is that over the years, we used to have all these different types of good bugs on our skin, and we've lost them over time. But wait, they're still in the dirt. So if we maybe expose ourselves to these bacteria, they can help calm down inflammation, psoriasis, acne, and other skin conditions that we're struggling with. Now, that is definitely something that is right now being heavily researched, whether it's better to roll in the actual dirt. Are there other strains in the dirt or in the mud that might be beneficial? You know, I think that that's still in its really early stages. So as far as the research that I've seen, most of the very promising strains of probiotic bacteria actually come from humans. They come from human skin or they come from the human gut. Occasionally, they'll come from thermal spring water or a source of water. And then every once in a while, there's a study that definitely makes you think that maybe there's something in the dirt. So, you know, I think that remains to be seen. But I think that one of the really important concepts there is that, you know, there's something called the hygiene hypothesis. And we seem to, especially if we're sort of living in these, you know, urban centers and the upper middle class, tends to protect their kids in what we call the urban bubble. You know, what do I mean by that? We're not letting our kids get dirty. We're rubbing Purell and hand sanitizers all over our kid. We're using antibacterial soaps. You're sort of like sanitizing our children. And unfortunately, a lot of scientists are thinking that that's leading to an increased risk of allergies, eczema, and asthma.
Dr. Bowe, we're talking, by the way, with Dr. Whitney Bowe, B-O-W-E, her website, drwhitneybowe.com. Dr. Bo, what the question comes, can you wash them with just plain water since water has bacteria in it? But is that a better way of doing it than with the hand sanitizers and the Purell, et cetera?
Yeah, so first of all, antibacterial soap has been shown to be no more effective than plain soap and water at preventing the spread of infection and germs and diseases. But the chemicals in antibacterial soaps have been shown to potentially mess with our hormones and lead to the development of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So I am not a fan of antibacterial soaps. In fact, the FDA has even banned a number of these ingredients that are found in antibacterial soaps, and they continue to investigate others. So in my opinion, I would say just use regular soap and water as opposed to using antibacterial soap. When it comes to hand sanitizers like Purell, those are really supposed to be used as a last resort. If you literally do not have access to soap and water, then you're supposed to be using those hand sanitizers. Those are primarily made with alcohol, and they seem to be killing off a lot of our good bugs. So I'm still, if you can get to soap and water, I'd rather get soap and water. Now, you also brought up the idea that water sometimes contains probiotics. It depends on the water. So, like, there are some really
well,
cool
water
thermal
contains
springs.
Bacteria anyway, right? Not a probiotic, but water in general is not.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you're getting it from like a thermal spring or from a natural source, it contains healthy bacteria, and the bacteria totally differ depending on where you're sourcing that water from, and whether you know you're sterilizing or sanitizing the water source. So. There are some really cool technologies and probiotic and prebiotic products that are being developed now, skin creams and cleansers, using specific types of water. And the water, actually, if it has a certain pH and it has a certain amount of selenium in it, you know, it actually has been shown to encourage the growth of lots of healthy bacteria. So what that's doing is it's acting like a prebiotic. So prebiotics are like almost like, you know, nutrients or nourishment for the probiotics. So probiotics are the live bugs, and prebiotics are kind of like fertilizer-like ingredients. They encourage the growth of the live bugs. And certain types of water have been shown to act like prebiotics. So, you know, I think that that's something that's also, we're going to be seeing more and more products based on these different types of water sources down the road.
What is the ideal way of preparing your skin? In other words, go through a ideal day. When you wake up, let's talk about you. What do you do as far as washing your, let's just talk about your face and hands. What do you do with your face and hands? What creams do you use? What creams do you not use? Do you put on a specific sunblock? Do you not? What do you do?
So when you wake up in the morning, you want to first cleanse the face using a gentle cleanser and your fingertips only. So you want a gentle cleanser. You want to look for words like gentle, hydrating, pH balanced on the cleanser, and a sign that you're not overstripping your skin of its natural oils and killing off your good bugs is that your skin doesn't feel squeaky clean. Like if your skin, after you cleanse, if your skin feels squeaky clean and tight, that means you're probably using too harsh a cleanser. And not only is it stripping your skin of its natural oils, but it's also killing off your good bugs. So you actually want to be really gentle with the skin. You can exfoliate the skin twice a week. But if you exfoliate more than twice a week, and you can exfoliate with something like a baby washcloth, or you can use a gentle scrub, or you can use exfoliating ingredients like alpha or beta hydroxy acids, all of that's fine. You really only want to do that twice a week. The rest of the time, you want to be using your fingertips only and a gentle cleanser. As soon as you're done with that, you want to pat dry with a clean towel, pat, don't rub. And then in the morning, ideally, you want to do two things. You want to be putting on an antioxidant serum. What's an antioxidant serum? A serum is a very thin product that you apply to your face, neck, and chest. And you always want to treat your face, neck, and chest like they're one, because I can't even tell you how many patients come in and their face does not match their neck or their chest, and one's giving away their age and not the other. So an antioxidant serum usually contains powerful antioxidants like vitamin C, vitamin E, ferulic acid. Those are all great ways to actually protect your skin from what are called free radicals. So we're exposed to free radicals all day long from the sun, from pollution. And basically what they do, they act like tiny little missiles and they trigger inflammation in the skin. So you want to protect your skin against that, because that can lead to premature aging and can even mutate our DNA and increase our risk for cancer on the skin.
And how do you protect
it? So an antioxidant serum. Sorry, go ahead.
go ahead. You said you put on antioxidant serum. Now, I thought when the antioxidants, in other words, when vitamin C, et cetera, is exposed to the UV light, it becomes an oxidant. That isn't true?
So if actually a lot of the studies are showing that they really do protect against the skin. So they protect against the free radical damage. So if you put on those antioxidants, they benefit you more than they do harm. They're not automatically turning into free radicals and hurting your skin. They're actually very protective of the skin. So a lot of sunscreen companies are even mixing antioxidants into their sunscreens, or you can layer an antioxidant serum underneath your sunscreen. But it's important not just to have antioxidants topically. You also want to have them in your diet. But we're just talking topical right now. But for topical purposes, you know, for applying a cream or a serum, the benefits far outweigh the risks right now of applying antioxidants topically to the skin, even in the morning. So, you know, it's something you don't have to wait and do at night. There's a lot of myths out there that, you know, applying any kind of antioxidants are going to potentially hurt the skin in the morning. That's not true. It's been shown the opposite is true, that it actually helps to protect you. So we do want to put on the antioxidants and then layer our sunscreens on top of that. You can use antioxidants again in the evening if you want to replace some of the antioxidants that you used up during the day. And I think also one of the things to do during the evening is a lot of people like to use ingredients like retinol. So retinol is a product that for the most part you do want to use in the evening, not in the morning, because there's a lot of retinols that are not stable in the sun. And if they're exposed to the sun, that can trigger free radical damage and oxidative stress in the skin. But there are some retinols that are actually stable in the sun. So it really depends on the product. But for the most part, if you want to just be safe, then you can use your retinols at night.
Now, okay, so we're through the morning preparation. What do you do the rest of the day? Do you stay dirty the rest of the day? Do you wash just before lunch? When do you wash at any other time? What do you do before?
Yeah, so it's best to only cleanse the face twice a day. If you do exercise during the day, you can cleanse one more time after you exercise. But really, you know, over cleansing multiple times a day or over exfoliating your skin can actually do more harm than good. So most people really benefit from just cleansing their face twice a day. So once in the morning, and then an antioxidant serum, and then you want to put on your sunscreen. And then in the evening, you cleanse again and you wash off your makeup. You can, if you're a woman, if you're a man, you just cleanse and then you can pat dry and then you apply different types of serums that are going to really be specifically for what's going to benefit you. And, you know, I have in my book, The Beauty of Dirty Skin, I go through, you know, a guide of like exactly what products and what ingredients to look for if you're in your 20s, if you're in your 30s, if you're in your 40s, if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, if you're skin of color, if you've got white skin, you know, if you have dry skin, if you have oily skin. So, you know, and it also depends on what concerns you have, fine lines, wrinkles, uneven pigmentation, dark spots, tightening up the skin. You know, there's all different products you want to look for, but the serum is really the workhorse of a skincare routine. So after you cleanse your face at night, you want to pat dry, apply your serum with those specific ingredients. And again, I go through all those in my book and on my website, drwhitneybow.com. Under Dr. Whitney's Picks, I have lots of my favorite products that I vetted and personally gone through all the data to make sure that they actually, that the science backs the claims that are made on the product. And then after that, if you have dry skin, you want to apply a moisturizer on top of that, because a moisturizer is really going to help trap in that hydration and that moisture that your skin needs and that your good bugs actually thrive on as well.
So, so when you eat dinner or before you eat meals and you wash your hands, do you reapply any of the skin? Do you reapply your sunblock? Do you reapply anything, or are your hands very different than your face in this regard?
Yeah, so your hands, you're definitely going to be washing more frequently throughout the day, and that's okay. Our hands are a little bit, the skin is thicker, it's a little bit tougher. So it can put up with that a little bit better, you know, as far as the face, the skin on the face, neck and chest is a little bit more delicate. And if you washed it as frequently as you wash your hands, it would dry out and it would cause inflammation. So our hands are a little bit more robust in that regard. But even so, when you do use soap and water afterwards, you want to pat dry and ideally you want to apply a moisturizer. There's a whole bunch of new products on the market now that have prebiotics, probiotics. They're replenishing the good bugs on your skin. So we know that when you wash your...
They actually have probiotics in the moisturizer / sunblock?
They do. They do. It's crazy. We have now, there's a lot of different skincare products that contain probiotics, either live bacteria, or they have prebiotics, which are like the food for the live bacteria, or they have what are called postbiotics. And postbiotics can be heat-killed bacteria, dead bacteria, lysed bacteria, or even ingredients that are different things that the bacteria themselves secrete into their environment. So they can make, we talked before about these antimicrobial peptides, like some healthy bugs can actually make and secrete these very cool molecules into their environment that can actually boost our protection against infection and all these different technologies, whether it's a prebiotic, probiotic, postbiotic, and I go into all of that in my book to explain that in depth, but they all do different things, and some of them can boost, they can help trap hydration and moisture in the skin. Some can help with fine lines and wrinkles and make, you know, the hands actually look younger if you apply the product on your hands. Other ones help fight acne. So it depends on where you're applying the cream and what you're going for. But yeah, there's a whole explosion right now in the world of skincare. There's tons of global skincare companies that are pouring money into developing probiotic technologies where they can actually reintroduce these healthy bacteria onto your skin in the form of a cream, a serum, a lotion. You know, so if you're washing your hands pretty frequently, you're probably getting rid of a lot of your good bugs throughout the day. So it certainly can't hurt to apply one of these creams that contains a probiotic technology and replace and replenish some of those lost bugs.
We've been talking with Dr. Whitney Bowe, B-O-W-E, website drwhitneybowe.com. The book she has written, The Beauty of Dirty Skin, featuring a 3-week program to address acne, rosacea, psoriasis, eczema, premature aging, and many other things in this program. And obviously, there is a plethora of new research on the value of bacteria to your skin. Thanks very much, Dr. Bowe. And for more information, it's The Beauty of Dirty Skin on Amazon and drwhitneybowe.com. Thanks again for showing and for talking to us. And Ben and Darian, thanks for engineering. We'll be back next week. This is Podcast 890B, the guest segment. Remember to always download us a new segment every week, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you every week in the A segment every week. Thanks again. Tell your friends about us.